welcome back. In case you just joined in, I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Rodney Michaels, who worked with spiritual seekers on the road to self-discovery and inner happiness. She is the author of an upcoming book in May called Unflappable, 6 Steps to Staying Peaceful and Happy No Matter What. So we're here on Fired Up with CJ, and we, in our previous segment, we were talking about defining what perfectionism is. See, I can't even say it perfectly. And I'm okay with that.
It's good enough.
Yeah, and what we promise is to know, like, how can you navigate this, and how do you know if you've gone overboard perfecting something? And we talked a little bit about this in the previous segment, but Rodney, what are some ways that we can navigate
perfectionism? Well, one of the ways that I've found to be the most useful for myself and for my clients and students is to understand that perfect is part of a polar pair. Mm-hmm. And the opposite of perfect for most of us is flawed. Mm-hmm. So if perfect and flawed go together, they're like a happily married couple.
Okay, but Tess, is that what a polar pair is for folks who are unfamiliar with?
A polar pair are two things that are actually opposites of each other.
Okay.
And in this case, they each define each other. So we define perfect as the absence of flaws, mm-hmm. and flawed as the absence of perfection.
Okay, got it.
Consequently, anytime you mention either one of those two words in your mind, your unconscious process automatically has to bring up the opposite in order to define it, which is why we are always caught in this dilemma of, shall I be perfect or shall I be flawed? Right? And a lot of people think, well, if I say that my efforts are good enough, mm-hmm. then I've given up and I've accepted that I'm flawed and that my work is flawed.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
This is what goes on unconsciously. So being conscious that perfect and flawed go together, mm-hmm. and you need to understand a different way of understanding flawed as well as mm-hmm. perfect. So good. When I say, as I said earlier, sometimes good enough is good enough,
right.
it's never said from the place of frustration and despair.
Oh, I give up. It's not like, yes. I give up. I just, oh, whatever, I accept it.
Right.
It's not that.
That's resignation.
Right.
That's resignation that I'm flawed,
right.
and my work is flawed.
Right.
But when you step back, when you're in the grips of perfectionism and you step back and you remember, perfect is balanced by flawed, right? Mm-hmm. They're both going to be here. Mm-hmm. So let me not actually say I want to be perfect and not flawed. You have to understand that being flawed is a part of being perfect, because that's how perfect becomes. That's how anything becomes better. You notice the flaw.
Okay.
And then you work to improve it or overcome it. That's how the actual process of perfectionism or innovation works. You have the idea of perfect. You notice what is it that's going on that's flawed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because perfect is the absence of flaws. So you're going to look for what is it that makes it not perfect yet.
Okay, so let's just take this into a real life example so I can make this concrete.
Sure.
So let's say I'm working, I like the example of an art piece, because all of us mm-hmm. can relate to, like, drawing something and going, oh.
Or your garden.
Okay, but let's just pick, like, something like the art piece. So,
okay.
And so I understand that one defines the other, flawed and perfect. They define mm-hmm. each other. How would I now use this tool? Like, I'm working my garden, then what do I do to say this is good enough? I don't understand.
If you look at your garden and you go, oh, this doesn't match my inner picture yet of what I want it to look mm-hmm. like, and you say, so let me see what's wrong. So you automatically go looking for what is it that's flawed according to your ideal
right,
picture
there's not
in your
enough
mind.
Color. Okay, I'm going to pretend. Okay, I'll do the garden since you want to go there.
All right.
I'll just go there with you.
I like gardens.
Okay, I go to my garden. I'm like, oh, there's not, no, that pink looks weird with the purple. I didn't think it would look that way, but it looks weird.
Okay.
I thought it would look cool. Looks weird.
All right. So let's say that you've been doing this now, looking at the colors and finding how the colors are flawed or the arrangements
right.
are flawed for like 3 weeks.
Right.
And you're really fed up with this garden because it's not perfect.
Right.
All right. Then if you say, oh, screw it, I just am going to give up on the whole thing.
Right.
That's not saying it's good enough in
okay.
a positive way.
Okay.
Saying it's good enough is stepping back and saying, realizing, becoming conscious. Oh, I am really being driven here by making this match something that I think is perfect, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that every time I go inside and look at it, I can see one more thing that doesn't match that inner picture of my perfect garden.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one that the person spent $100,000 on.
Right, right.
In a huge, you know, back patio. And I have this little patio.
Right, right? They tried to do a miniature version. It doesn't look right.
It doesn't look the same, right?
Right.
So then you go, okay, but you can't do this until you step back a little bit and say, okay, here's the thing. This can never look like that. That's my ideal. So let me now look at this for what it is in terms of what it fits in the reality of my life.
Right.
Is this good enough? Can this make me happy? And if you can say yes, then you're fine. Then you're leaving it and saying it's good enough, you know? Okay. If you say, no, it's not good enough. This the colors still irritate me. You're still caught in comparison despair.
Okay.
All right. And you're still caught in the throes of trying to make something perfect that cannot meet your ideal.
Okay. I'm still having issues with this because I have an issue with perfectionism. I must get this right. I must understand this perfectly. All right.
Well, let me give you another example. I've been working on a new website, okay?
Yeah.
And I've been struggling with it. And the reason I've been struggling is because you have to have the perfect name, the perfect tagline, the perfect copy, the perfect image.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And every time I would come to the place where I would say, you know, this is good enough, I could feel what I was feeling was resignation.
Right.
And underneath the resignation was a whole inner dialogue that was, I can never do this right. This is never going to be good enough to have what I want happen, blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Right. And how'd you shift out of that?
I took a step back and said, you know, I'm human. I'm flawed. My website is flawed. People actually relate to flawed. You know, it's okay if it's not perfect. The question is, does it carry the energy of what I want to say? Mm. Yeah, it does that. But what I look when I looked, what I was comparing it to were hugely big names with people who have tons of money to make pay really good designers
and
copywriters and have fantastic videos that promote their new books, and everything costs thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, right? So I'm comparing myself to something that actually is beyond my reach at this moment in my life.
Right.
All right? So then I step back and go, okay, so given what I have and who I am and where I am, is this actually good enough? Does it meet the actual need of a website and a tagline and a copy?
Right.
And the answer was, yeah, it really was. I was just beating myself up because I'm like, I thought my unconscious, I should say, was you got to get wherever these other guys are that you want to be ultimately, but it's not where you are now. So one of the things in the business world people always say is if you get caught up in perfectionism, you will never be a success because you will stop taking action.
Yep.
That's what it does. Perfectionism can paralyze you and say, I can't do anything here because I don't know which way to go, which is the best way, which is the right way.
What do you think is happening in our psyche that causes this whole... I mean, because there's something, right? Yeah, what is that?
Aside from the drive to dream, which is what we've already talked about, the difficulty here, the deep misunderstanding that we all function with, is that whatever we're doing, we believe, is an actual statement about who we are. So if the website, if the garden, if the dinner party is less than perfect, it means something about me. It means something about you.
Right.
That means you're less than perfect. This is a deep, deep, deep unconscious function that goes on, which is a function of the personality. It's not something that anybody, it's just the way we are.
Right.
Right. If you work at it enough and you learn how to deal with that, you can move beyond that so that you know those things are not statements about who you are at all. They're simply your actions. They are not, they do not reflect who you are. Now, I know this really hits against a generally accepted belief in our culture that your behaviors and actions are statements about who you are. But ultimately, when you understand the nature of being human, you understand that this has to be the way it is.
Yeah.
Right? And you can just step back and understand that you're more than those things.
Okay.
And that leads you into, of course, the spiritual realm, which we're learning in our world today. It's really hard to be human and live without that.
Oh, we only have 2 minutes, but who am I? But you keep on saying that you'll figure out who you are. So it's if you're not this, if you're not supposed to be perfect and your things are not supposed to be relating to what you produce, then who are you then? I mean, that's the bigger question.
It is the bigger question.
And can you answer it in like a minute?
What I can say is the only one who can answer that question for you is you.
Oh, I hate that answer.
Don't you hate it? I hate to say it too. But I can say this. It is a paradox. Because from the spiritual perspective, all spiritual perspectives, we're already perfect. All right? We're already perfect. So the drive to become perfect is kind of a little like off.
Right.
But if you aren't connected with what it means to be perfect, which actually is to be both perfect and flawed. That's humanity. The definition of humanity is I have a light and a dark side.
That's it. When you say and say, you know what, I'm both perfect and flawed, and this work is a perfect reflection of the fact that I'm both perfect and
flawed.
There
you go.
That's it.
that's who you are at this plane. It, and it's hard to get there if you don't have some kind of spiritual or religious thing to help.
Okay, that was like my aha.
Perfect and flawed. Don't get hung up on either one.
Okay, wonderful. Raghini Michaels, who speaks internationally about finding happiness and inner peace, and an author of Unflappable, 6 Steps to Staying Peaceful and Happy No Matter What. On part of CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio. Up next, we're looking at 4 parts of perfectionism, and the next part is how can we stop when we've gone overboard. And I think we've talked a little bit about that more, but we're going to dig into it even more. If you want to know more about Raghini or listen to other shows like this, check it out at www.firedupwithcj.com or facticity.com. We'll be right back.